me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. And always say it, but say it sincerely, good to get together and just thank you for your desire to assemble, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but involve ourselves together as a congregation in worship. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning in the very center. I'd like to follow along. The title comes from our lesson this morning. From Genesis 13, verse 8. It says, Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife. By the way, I'm not addressing a problem of strife that I know of in the congregation here. I know nothing. I'm sure somebody may turn to someone next to them and say, who told him? But I know nothing about strife going on, so it's just a preventative medicine lesson, if you will. So Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, or between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we be brethren. We're brethren. So kind of in review to tell the story again that Rick read to us. You know, Abram and Lot and their families had come out of Egypt. They settled in Canaan's land, the promised land. And they prospered. Everything's going well. It's all good. But one day, word came to Abram about the strife between their herdsmen. So Abram goes to Lot, and in so many words, in today's parlance, you know, let's nip this thing in the bud. So Abram says in so many words, says, Lot, we've been together a long time. You know, when we left Ur of Chaldea, way back then, just above the Persian Gulf, made this journey to the Promised Land. He says, you know, you were a young fellow, and after your father's death, I took care of you. We've been through some difficult times together, Lot. But, you know, we've always worked side by side. And we can even trace our travels from Ur of Chaldea by the altars of worship we set up along the way and the journey to the Promised Land. This thing up, he says, you know, Lot, we put a lot into this thing. But now it's in danger. Uh-oh. He says, Lot, there's a possibility, a terrible possibility, that all that we've gained could be lost because of strife. We can't let this happen. There has to be no strife between you and me, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. So Abram says, Lot, let's settle the matter. Abram offers a solution in verse 9. Abram says, is not the whole land before us? Yeah. We're standing right there. So Abram says, separate thyself, I pray, from me. If you take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you depart to the right, I'll go to the left. I put in your notes at least one lesson we can gain from this story. It said, if something comes between us, and things will, so how can we as mere mortals, in this time of strife, in this time of trouble, how can one of us turn to the other and say, you take your choice, and I'll take what's left, and then not complain about it? Wouldn't it be wonderful that both people that are having odds at each other, each one said, no, you go first. No, you go first. And the strife is, who gets to go first? In settling the matter. That would be wonderful. You know, the one term that's used more than any other in the Bible to describe us is brethren. Or brothers. In Matthew 23, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, one is your master, even Christ. All ye are brethren. We're all brethren. So I put in your notes, because we're brethren. Now here's some things that we can do to prevent strife from coming. As we said, it's preventive medicine. So I've listed four things for you. There probably could be others added to the list. But number one, and you put, let's get to know each other better. I put all of all the people that cross our paths, we know our family best. We know family, our family best. And so likewise, in our church family, there needs to be some special interest in getting to know each other better. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, it says, the Lord knows those that are His. Well, we're all brethren. Let's get to know each other better. So I've kind of put some ideas for us, but I remember there was a song years ago, you know, Getting to Know You. Getting to know all about you. Yeah. Well, that's kind of should be our theme song. Getting to know each other. I remember when I was working for the school district, every fall before the students arrived, there would be staff meetings. And the principal would always introduce the new teachers, but there would always be a little mixer of some kind. Now, let's get to know it before we student. All the teachers, we're staff. Let's get to know each other better. Let's be some kind of a get to know you. When I was a youngster, just a couple years ago, but attending a lot of the youth rallies back in Muskegon, Michigan, where I grew up in the congregation, we had lots of area wide youth rallies. And one of the songs that we would always sing when young people got together from all these other congregations, you know, from Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo or Battle Creek, and sometimes as far away as Traverse City, once a month we'd have a youth rally. Bring them all in. And we had a little song we'd always say, everybody standing together, oh, hold my call, please. Well, that's you, Buck. But the song is, the song that we would sing is shake hands and be friendly. Say how do you do? Shake hands and be friendly as Christians should do. Shake hands and be friendly and smile while you shake. Hold firmly, my brother, and shake, shake, shake. And usually as young people, you know, we'd go get a gun and shake, shake. You know, get a big shake. And then we'd introduce ourselves to each other. That's what we want to do. Here's some ideas. And you know, you have to be here to get to know each other better. You have to be here. This is where we meet. But number one, you may sit near one another during worship. Or sit next to someone different. I know brethren have their favorite pews. I call them sacred views. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we were up in Woodland, I walk in and the brethren there, you know, I've been doing that for years, and you know, first thing I ask the brethren, does any of the members usually sit here? Because I didn't want to sit down at that pew and be asked to move. Sometimes brethren have their pews. Boy, if you come late and somebody's sitting in your pew, you might be upset. Like, oh. Oh. You might want to get to know each other better, not only just sit different someplace different, but come early. Stay late. Get to know each other. You can't get to know everybody all at once, so come early. Focus on someone that you haven't or that you don't know very well. Don't attend just one meeting. Don't attend just one meeting. Well, I get to know each other, don't we, brethren? Make it a point to get acquainted with someone you don't know very well. You may have to, after the amen prayer, run out the front door, run to the back door to catch him, because some brethren leave quickly. I want to get to know you. Well, I got to chase him through the parking lot. Get to know him a little better. Review the church directory. Get it out and just kind of look at the names. Look at the picture board in the back. You know, put a name with a face. Share a meal together after the assembly. Use every opportunity to be with brethren. You know, if we have something outside the assembly, we have a work party. The Vacation Bible school, one day. One day vacation Bible school on a Saturday coming up in June. Come on down. Might be area-wide events. These are all places where we can get to know each other better. Because we're brethren. Because we're brethren. And that will help avoid any strife that might come up. Second is, let's love one another. Jesus said it. Jesus made it a commandment. Oh, no. I'm just going to give some recommendations. But Jesus said in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So he not only said, this is what I want you to do, but you see what I'm doing? That's what I want you to do. He says, I'm going to model this for you, what this love should look like. So he said, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, or that we're brethren. You know, it's difficult to love a stranger. Now, if you don't believe that, you just go down to the shopping center and start trying to hug on people you don't know. And you'll see how difficult it is to love a stranger. But the more we get to know each other, the easier it is to love one another, to get along. John, 1 John 3, verse 18, let's not love in word only, but in deed. Indeed and truth. Well, I have some suggestions. I think number one, put the best construction on other people's actions. Somebody does something, did you see what they did? The best construction on their actions. Zechariah 7, verse 10, Old Testament prophet, said, let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. If somebody said something bad about me, I hope the first thing you would say is, I can't believe that. I hope that's what you would say. No! James 4, verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another. You may know something, but you don't have to say it. We want to get along. We want to let the strife cease. Don't stir it up. Speak not evil of your brother. Matthew 18, verse 35, Jesus said, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother. Brother, we're talking about brethren. We be brethren. If you don't forgive your brother their trespass. We're talking about how do we know each other better? How do we prevent strife? We get to know each other and love each other. Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but especially of the house, those of the household of faith. So let's find out, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you need? And love is not based on personal worth. It's based on our relationship. Abram said to Lot, let the strife cease because we are brethren. We're brothers. Number three, let's strengthen one another. That's what Jesus said to Peter. After Peter denied him, he said, Peter, come over here. I want you to strengthen the brethren. Strengthen the brethren. So how do we do that? Here's some list of things. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we're brethren, brothers, that's us. Pray for us. Call people's name in prayer, you know, during the week. Hey, get your directory out. The bulletin. We have this big bold print. Prayerfully remember. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, we exhort you, brethren. There we be brethren. Warn the unruly, but encourage the faint-hearted. Support, strengthen the weak. Yeah, encourage, edify, build up those who are not as strong in faith. Could be your strength. And be patient toward all men, concludes. In Romans 14, verse 13, therefore let's not judge one another anymore, but judge this. No man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Oh, we're brethren. We be brethren. Brethren, Paul said in Galatians 6, if anyone's overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Bring them back. That's the purpose. We're brethren. Family matters. We're brethren. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. What do you need and how can I help you? Let me get that. We're brethren. The last one, number 4. Let's live at peace with each other. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. I used this verse in a lesson last Sunday evening. It says how good and how pleasant, you know, unity is, brethren. See, some things in life are good, but they're not pleasant. Like medicine. There's some medicine that we have to take. Oh, that's not good. Oh, that's not good. That's not pleasant. Yeah, but it's good for you. Some things are pleasant, but not good. Hebrews 11 speaks about the pleasures of sin. Well, yeah, sin is pleasurable, but it's not good. Not good for you. But unity? Unity? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. We be brethren. We need to do it. God's sake, it's required of us, counts on us. We're going to hinder our effectiveness toward God if we promote strife. Families are involved, especially family here. If there has to be a young Christian in faith or just someone young and they see us older folks bickering or in strife, they're going to grow up seeing that. Our influence is involved. Abram and Lot, you know, they're living in Canaan, and look at all these other nations around them, the Perizzites, the Canaanites. Abram is probably saying to Lot, you know, if they see that we can't get along, they're going to laugh at us or mock us. So we don't want people that we're trying to reach to see that we can't get along. Oh, bread. Let the strife cease because we be brethren. Be brethren. So like I say, I don't know anything that's going on. You have strife in your life. Nobody told me. This is preventive medicine. So number one, get to know each other better. Do whatever it takes. One time I thought about, let's put a couple people at the back and say, those doors are not in service and you have to go out this door. Brand new experience for some. You have to walk by people that, oh, I'm sorry, who are you? Get to know each other better. Number two, love one another. Say, it's difficult to love a stranger. Number three, strengthen one another. Support. Number four, let's live at peace with one another. So that's the lesson this morning. Always when we assemble together, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Now remember, the New Testament church, we offered this invitation. You've heard the simple message, gracious message is, if you've heard that message that God so loved the world, you believe it. You're willing to turn your life around. The Bible uses the word repentance. And you're willing to confess your faith before witnesses, especially like this morning that are gathered here, to rejoice with you in that decision. You can be baptized for remission of sins. Then grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ask, brother, for strength or encouragement. We can accomplish that. Just simply let it be known. So that's why at the close of a lesson, okay, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. We're pleading and praying. And once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. You can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sins. Hope you have the hope of heaven within. Other blessings. That one action. And then we grow.
So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, just have a seat beside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask you what's on your heart.